Carlos Santana, that's that a boy, man. That's why we shove him out there in the lineup every day, because when he suddenly gets hot, we need to trade him for a bag of chips and a pop, a combo meal at Kauffman Stadium. Maybe we can get more than that. As Santana with a home run, the Royals open up the four-game series against the Orioles last night with a 7-5 win. Orioles are 24-34. Not a good team, but at least the Royals beat them. Royals are 19-37. Orioles scored first, but the Royals quickly answered with a two-run homer from MJ Melendez. Chris Bubich gave up one run through four, struggled in the fifth, didn't get the win because it didn't go the five innings, but the Royals got it done thanks to Santana with that two-run homer. Give the Royals a lead for good, and the Royals do win by a final of 7-5, and the Royals back in action tonight. Game two of that four-game set in KC at 7:10 at Kauffman Stadium. Jonathan Heasley on the mound for the boys in blue, 0-3 with an ERA, a 4.62. A lot to get to. Eight-man All-Star Games this weekend. Of course, tomorrow we have the pep rally later today, and Dusty is over in Beloit with a whole bunch of Osborne County individuals.
Yeah, we got the Lakeside and Osborne players here. I figured I'd wait till the end of the week to talk to them, so they got along by the end of the week with the rivalries they have during the season. No, just kidding. They obviously played each other a lot. They know each other well, so figured it'd be fun to have them all together at the same time. We're going to alternate between schools as well. We're going to start with Mason Scherf from Osborne. Mason, I know that you've had some time here to get to know the offense and get to know all these players and everything like that. What's been your favorite part of the week so far as you prep for the All-Star game coming up tomorrow?
Favorite part of the week's probably been the movies. We got to watch the new Top Gun. That was pretty good. And then yesterday we watched the Jurassic World, which wasn't as good, but movies for me.
So what's the camaraderie like with the team? Because you brought that. It's interesting when I ask that question, because some people say the football and getting back out onto the field, but obviously that's something you've been able to do together. So what's that camaraderie been like with this group as it's built throughout the week?
Well, it's nice to finally practice with these guys instead of play against them my whole high school career. Doing everything this week with them has been nice, getting to know everyone. So the chemistry is building, obviously, as we progress through the week. So just getting ready for Saturday.
What's just your biggest hope for tomorrow?
The win, probably, but not too worried.
Mason Scherf from Osborne, thanks for the time, man. Kylan Cunningham with us now. Kylan, I'm sure, like he said, you're glad that you don't have to play against him anymore. What's it like having him in your backfield now, and maybe for the other defense, you don't have to start to try to tackle this guy anymore either?
He's definitely a threat, a lot of speed in the backfield. Definitely if we give him open field in the one-on-one, he's going to beat the guy. So it's always nice having him behind me.
For you personally, obviously, Coach Dusky's not here, so it's a different offense that you're having to pick up at the quarterback position. You've had a lot of success at that position, but what are some of the nuances or changes that you've had to make this week, and has that been difficult?
I've been having to make a lot of reads. There's a lot of motions we've been doing, and no, I'm not quite used to that yet, but it's been fun trying to get to know how to run his offense, so it's pretty exciting.
And for you, what's the biggest thing you're hoping for out of this whole experience once it's over?
Well, you know, a lot of new friendships, and then I hope on Saturday I have a lot of success, you know, running the offense and, you know, just scoring and getting the win.
Kyle Cunningham from Lakeside, thanks, man. Peyton Ellis from Lakeside with us now. Peyton, you're doing dirty work on the front line throughout your career at Lakeside, and obviously you're probably going to be doing some of that here this week as well. Having these guys to block for, how much do you trust the rest of this team here this week now that you've got to know them?
I can trust them quite a bit. I mean, they're all very good athletes, and if they get their job done, we should be able to come out on top Saturday.
For you, what's the experience been like? You found out like 3 weeks ago that you were playing in this game, so I'm sure you were excited then, but now that you've gotten here, how excited are you about the fact that you get to play another game on Saturday?
I'm pretty excited still. I mean, it's great to play football again, so I don't think you could ever not be excited.
And then for you, what are some of the things that you're focusing on for tomorrow?
Winning.
Winning. Peyton Ellis from Lakeside. Dayton Lance with us. Now, Dayton, I'm not trying to give your offense away or anything, but it sounds like you're having to learn yet another position this week. And so you had a lot of experience with that. We had that on our feature story that, you know, you played four or five different positions here, especially even just your senior year. How did that help you coming into the All-Star game to be able to do that during the season?
I mean, I've done all the lineman drills. I've done all the quarterback drills, running back drills throughout my senior year. So, I mean, I can pick up on any position. The coach asked me if I've played like three positions so far, and the answer's been yes about all of them. So,
when you look at this team and the group that you have before you, like I talked about with all these other guys, with especially these Lakeside kids that we're talking to as well, what's your relationship been like throughout your high school career, and how fun is it to play with them here this weekend?
No, I love the Lakeside boys, except for in sports. I mean, I hate them. I think they're awesome. No, I'm just kidding. They're fun to play with. So I enjoy it.
And then just representing Osborne, what are your hopes to go out and be a Bulldog again one last time?
Obviously, it's pretty exciting. I just hope to get one last win with Mason.
Dayton Lance from Osborne, thanks for the time, man. Jay Stone, we'll end with you. You're really tall, but I was looking at Debley from Hanover. You're standing right next to him. I was like, Jace looks short out there compared to him. But 6'3", you've been a target your whole career at the wide receiver position. I'm guessing you're probably going to look to be on Saturday as well. Just with the coaches this week, what are some of the things you've been working on at that position, and what are your hopes for how you can perform Saturday?
Definitely running a little wide-out stuff, but kind of using me as like a decoy to kind of form more of the defense around me, and then maybe do an option the opposite way or quick passes and then get them to bite and then throw something over the top.
And how much does that help you personally? Because I know there's a lot of times where if you needed that catch or those extra yards during the season, it was Skylin, you know, getting the ball to you. Maybe you'd go up and get it. He usually delivered a really good ball anyway. But how much pressure does that take off of you to be on an all-star team like this and maybe free you up even more?
Yeah, I have a lot of pressure taken off me, which is good. But, I mean, I hope I like catching the ball. So I'm sure old Kyle will still throw me a good ball, but definitely a lot better with all these guys I'm playing with.
What's been your favorite part of this experience so far?
I'd say more of the bonding stuff. I mean, first practice we got here is a little tense, but now we're kind of like a bunch of brothers that have been playing for a long time, so I really enjoy that.
Hey, Sean from Lakeside, thanks for the time. Thanks, everybody. Best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right, the Osborne Lakeside kids, obviously rivals during the season and have a little fun with that, but you know that off the field and off the court they're always hanging out. This day and age is social media, it's hard to actually have full-time rivals as long as you know those kids and get along with them. So that last thing that Jace said too is one of the things that you hear every single year here. You know, every year the kids get here, like, yeah, I don't know if I really like this guy, or, you know, I remember playing this team and I had a really bad experience against them. But then by the end of the week, all these 20 all-stars on each team have come together and they're a group and a team, and some will say a family. And I think that's probably my favorite part of watching this as the week progresses, to see these guys come together and not be rivals anymore, but be teammates and go out for a common goal on Saturday. So Jace kind of ended that perfectly for us to kind of talk about how this week has gone for these teams as they get set for tomorrow's games here.
Well, it's the 80 best players in the state of Kansas convening on a football field tomorrow beginning at 10 o'clock with the 8-man Division I All-Star Game. Pregame coverage at 9:30 here on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com and the 8-man All-Star Game Radio Network. Get the free KD Country 94 app on your smartphone so you can listen wherever you may be. And then also, of course, we've got the Division II All-Stars, as we just heard from five of those right here in our backyard in Osborne County. Three Lakeside, two Osborne kids. And they will do battle there at 1:30 for the Division II game, pregame at 1 o'clock here on the network. And I think that is the largest group interview that you have ever done. Five players. That was really well done.
I've done four. I think five is definitely the biggest this year.
Yeah. Well, let's shoot for six next year. Let's just keep building them.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the Royals.
Well,
build on winning.
I don't want to take too many of them away from practice.
Yeah. So. That might not be good. Yeah. You took away five. They
Coach
all did.
Be like, I got to. Got to cut it off at four.
Yeah,
I need five today.
Yeah, they did a nice job. That was all five of them, very articulate and not one of those, you know, short answers, I don't know what to say, freeze up or anything. They all did a very nice job. So very, very nice, very nice. Anything else you want to add about the 8-man All-Star Games? I mean, obviously it is the 80 best players in the state of Kansas. Only Beloit, Kansas hosts these games. It's going to be warmer than they had originally forecast, mid-90s possibly for the afternoon game. So Jason is ready with 14 layers of sunscreen and two bucket hats and a change of clothing if he needs to at halftime of that game. And the morning game will obviously be a little bit more pleasant, but what's the final thoughts going into tomorrow?
Yeah, these teams have all been working really hard. They've had scrimmages. The East finally scrimmaged each other last night, so they kind of got everything in and kind of understand what might work, what won't work. That's one of the things that you always talk with the coaches every year when I go get their lineups. It's like, I realize that something might not work the way you thought it would when you get into the game, so you'll change some of this. But it's always fun to see these kids put the work in and like I said earlier, just become a full unit as the week goes on. So they're going to showcase all that tomorrow and have a chance to show that to everybody that's involved. So we definitely encourage everybody to come out if you can and watch the games. But if you can't, again, we'll be on the radio and have them for you on the play-by-play on KD Country 94 and then also online at 8manallstars.com. Feature stories all over the place from this week. NCKSSports.com can tell you more about the pep rally Friday Night Lights that are going on tonight here at the college. So just a lot of activity going on here with this event. So, again, just come out and enjoy it. They put a lot of work in this week, coaches and players, and they're ready to showcase it for you coming up tomorrow.
Absolutely. There is not a single person, it's not even close. Let me just tell everybody out there, there's not a single person in the media that has worked nearly as hard and has done as much extensive work on the 8-man All-Star Games and covering these 80 players and all the coaches than our own Dusty Dynas. It's not even close. I mean, he is just absolutely... Go to the website, 8manallstars.com or kdcountry94.com, nckssports.com. Click on the links, go to the website. We've got audio profiles, we've got player features, we've got the records, we've got the rosters. Dusty, you've done a wonderful job, and I'm sorry, but we're not going to let you off yet. You get off at about 4:30 tomorrow, okay? But you've done a wonderful job, and there's nobody that can touch the coverage that you provided for the 8-man All-Star Games once again this year.
Well, the thing about the job that I have is I always love telling these kids stories, and what's the point of having it if you're not going to tell these stories of doing the games? Mm-hmm. I mean, these kids work their butts off to get here, so that's why I work my butt off sometimes to tell their story, because they're deserving of it.
Absolutely. Well said. We'll see you at the Pep Rally later today, man.
Sounds good.
All right. Dusty Dynas doing a wonderful job covering 8-man All-Star Games again. The 37th 8-man All-Star Games, technically it's the 36th games because there was, of course, COVID that ruined it a couple years ago, as it did for everything in our country at that point in time. So here we go. Pep Rally at Chautauqua Park, hosted by Beloit Area Chamber of Commerce, Guaranty State Bank Trust Company, providing bottled water. There's shaved ice there for you as well. All of the 80 All-Stars plus the coaches. We are going to have some games during the hour. We test their competitive spirit. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we look forward to seeing it at Chautauqua Park. Maybe you want to go to the pool before or after the Pep Rally. You can do that as well. Right there, Chautauqua Park, there by the water park in Beloit. Pep Rally at 4 o'clock. We'll be emceeing the event. Myself and Dusty and Jason all be there to cover it. And once again, so to show up there, if you want to get there a little bit early, that's fine too. It'll last about an hour from 4 to 5 o'clock. Then Friday Night Lights tonight at 8:30. You can come and enjoy free popcorn. Free popcorn. Music and fun at North Central Kansas Technical College Field on Highway 24 there in Beloit. Popcorn sponsored by Farmway Credit Union. Then about 9:15 or dark, highlight reel of the players practice week on the big screen. If it rained tonight, then move it to the gymnasium, but I think we're going to be okay. Bring your lawn chairs and enjoy a nice evening out. And it's all brought to you by Mitchell County Convention and Tourism, Beloit Area Chamber of Commerce, Kansas 8-Man All-Star Game Football Association. Of course, us at KD Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake. Then once again, in case you haven't heard it enough, tomorrow we have a doubleheader of high school football. It is all-star football. It is the 8-man Division I all-star game between East and West, between the blue and the red. I'll have the play-by-play. Todd Clover will be our color commentator, Jason and Dusty will be on the sidelines. Pregame at 9:30 sharp tomorrow on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. And once again, free app on our smartphones, KD Country 94. You can download that for free. Go to our website, and of course, all the information there, as we mentioned earlier, nckssports.com. Then, the second game of our doubleheader. If you like football, we don't play one, we play two with the 8-man All-Star Games there in Beloit at Trojan Field. It will be the Division II All-Stars, the gold versus the green. As you heard, we've got 10 kids from North Central Kansas playing on the gold team in the second game, so including those five kids from Osborne County, the two from Osborne, three from Lakeside you just heard from, and we'll have that game pregame at 1 o'clock. Dusty and Todd will have the call in the booth, and Jason will be patrolling the sidelines to talk to many kids during and before and after the game, and talk to some coaches as well. So we look forward to all of that. And thanks to our sponsors for making it all possible once again this year for us to have the 8-man All-Star Games in Beloit on the radio and on the 8-man All-Star Game radio network. So we look forward to all of that. Tomorrow, one admission price. That's it. And you get two games. You don't have to pay for two games. I guess you could say you do, but you're not paying individually for each game. You just pay once, go in, and enjoy a doubleheader of football. football. It's quite the bargain to see the best athletes, best eight-man players in the state of Kansas. I did the math. Let's see. There's 7 of the 40 going on to play football at the next level. Another one's going to go track and field. 32 of the 40 kids actually, that was just in the D1 game. I don't have the breakdown of D2 because I'm doing the D1 game. And also the D1 game, there's 35 of the 40 participants were teams that made the playoffs. So these kids know how to win. Right. These kids are on really good teams. Some have been part of state championship teams either this past year or years before. So the competitive spirit will come out. Trust me. Believe it or not, we've had a couple of ejections in the 8-man All-Star game. I don't know if it has anything to correlate with the official who was happening to be broadcasting, or not broadcasting, but officiating DT. I won't say his name out loud, Devin Treister. So, anyway, I'm joking. And honestly, I'll be completely honest with you. To support DT on that one, they deserved it. the kids that got thrown out, they deserved it. And it was a couple times. So hopefully we won't see anything quite like that. But the competitive spirit, it's funny. They go into it, and they're like, hey, yeah, it's a game. We want to win. All of a sudden, you get to the third and fourth quarter, and then game's tight and starts kicking in. And once the juices get flowing, and once you deliver a hit and you haven't played football in a game situation since all the way back in October or November, it comes back to you pretty quickly. Right. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and Jason's going to hear a lot of popping of pads on the sideline.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
It's funny you say, there's all stars on both sides. So, there's a lot of these kids that are used to having a lot of success out there and not losing very many plays, but mm-hmm. there's all stars on the other side. So every once in a while, you're going to get popped. And even as an all star yourself. So that once that happens, that's when that competitive spirit kicks in. It's like, oh, he got me this one. I got to get him the next play. And so, you're right. It kind of takes a little bit sometimes in these games. But then, after the first quarter or so, those guys are going to be ready and they're going to try to win. I mean,
I don't know how many times we've said it when we broadcast the games in the past. And that is, there'll be a play like, man, that would have been a touchdown had it been a regular season game. Yeah. But with the speed and athleticism, or wow, that was a tremendous hit. That normally that guy gets 6 yards, he got 2 yards, or it's a unbelievable throw and a guy's open and there's closing speed by the DB and knocks it away. So you see, I mean, you got to be good to do well tomorrow. There's no doubt about it. And these guys are the best of the best, the 80 best in the state of Kansas, and they all are in Beloit this week and weekend, and we can't wait to get the game started tomorrow. On a side note, excuse me, please, if you can, put the Burks family in your prayers, if you would. Kyler Burks, he's a classmate of my son. He's going to be a junior at Beloit High. I have had the pleasure of coaching Kyler in different sports over the years. Kyler's a great kid. In fact, just talking with him at Hayes the other day when we were out there for a basketball tournament. Kyler Burks was involved in a rollover accident. He's 16. He was life watch to Wichita, and so thoughts and prayers go out to Kyler, and Kyler is the son of Eric and Deidre Burks. Eric, of course, president of NCK Technical College there, and of course he has a big family and a ton of support, and so our thoughts and prayers with Kyler and his family as hopefully he'll be able to recover from all the injuries. He has multiple injuries from this rollover accident, and so we hope that he can get back to where he was. We hope, certainly that everything works out and that he makes it through all of this. And so our thoughts and prayers. I was just talking with Eric Dustin. I was just talking with Eric at the 8-man Rotary Lions Club lunch when the coaches were talking the other day. And Eric started doing this. I don't know how many years ago he started doing it. And it really adds to the 8-man All-Star Games is he and his family. He'd have his daughters, the twins, Hannah and Haley. He'd have Blaine and Braden had helped before, and Kyler had helped before. And, of course, Deidre and then even grandparents helping. It's a family thing. Painting the field, putting the logos on the field, something that never had been done before. And that added a whole different look. And they were going to do that again. And I don't know if somebody else is going to pick up the slack and do that or not, because obviously it's not important compared to being with your son, obviously, in Wichita. But I was just talking with Eric about this the other day, and he said, well, he had his kids were doing a lot of different things. He was hoping Kyler could help him out some, but Kyler has basketball 5:30 game tonight in Wichita, just like my son does. So I was like, oh, yeah, Kyler's going to be tired this weekend. They're going to play a lot of basketball, so forth and so on. And then all of a sudden, you get a phone call yesterday afternoon, and everything just absolutely changes, and it throws you a curveball. And we are really, 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 really praying and thinking of Kyler and his family, and support them any which way we can. Best way to support them is your thoughts and your prayers and whatever else you can do. Trust me, we've reached out and said, hey, anything you need, we'll be there. We'll help you, whatever you need. So Kyler's a great kid, and we hope everything works out. And once again, put them in your prayers or your prayer list or whatever you want to do there with Kyler and his family. Because Eric and his family have been a big part of doing a lot of different things to help the 8-man All-Star Games go off without a hitch, and we appreciate everything that they've done. Okay, a couple other local notes. Osborne graduate Ava Stull has been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone Cable Athlete of the Week. Stull played in the NPL TVC State Line All-Star Basketball game this past Saturday at Red Cloud High School. Despite a 47-40 loss, she helped lead the NPL All-Stars back in the second half from a double-digit deficit, but they lost by 7. Stull led the NPL with 16 points in the game. She averaged 8.7 rebounds, 2.5 block shots per contest, which put her among the top ranks in the state while she was at Osborne. Stull was also picked to play in the Cloud County Community College All-Star Basketball game and the Colby Community College All-Star Volleyball match. In volleyball, she had 233 kills and 23 blocks during her senior campaign. She finishes out her high school career in the State Line All-Star Volleyball match tonight in Red Cloud, Nebraska. Read all about our recent athletes of the week, including Ava Stull at NCKSSports.com. Speaking of that volleyball match, the 8th annual TVC NPL State Line All-Star Volleyball match is set for tonight at Red Cloud Junior Senior High School. 9 athletes from the Northern Plains League will face the Twin Valley Conference as the match is set to start at 6 o'clock with pregame introductions at 5:45 this evening. Admission to the event is $5 for adults, $3 for students. Full list of NPL All-Stars can be found at nckssports.com, but I can tell you that Bailey Cunningham of Lakeside, Morgan Eberly of Lakeside will be competing, along with Haley Thornton of Lakeside. Sylvan Lucas's Liz Klein, Ava Stull of Osborne, as we mentioned, Paige Hollerick of St. John's Tipton, also Tescott's Raven Peterson, Pike Valley's Leah Benny, and also Sage Kirchhoff of Thunder Ridge, all participating in that volleyball match. And Michelle Brummett, head coach of Lakeside, is the head coach of that all-star team this evening at Red Cloud. Assistant coach is Linda Herrig. So all that information posted at nckssports.com. All right, time for a Cubs update with Jason Broadfoot. I like saying it, Broadfoot.
Unfortunately, the day off, the scheduled day off.
Another day off?
Yeah, they had the rain the day before, and then this was a scheduled day off, travel day.
That's right.
They get to start tonight with the Yankees. So.
Oh, well, that should be pleasant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least they'll have a rested bullpen. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, because they'll probably need it. Yeah, you know, but, yep. Cubs at 23-33, Yankees sit at 41-16, so, oh, it's too bad that we won't get, you know, we were kind of going to get a Yankees update with the Cubs update, but it won't work out that great because it's over the weekend, but sorry, Todd.
Well, you kind of gave up a Yankees update. You told them the record, and they're way better than the Cubs. And, well, they're the best record in baseball is what they are right now. Aaron Judge is having a monster
year. We'll talk
about
it Monday, Todd, for you.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. We shall see.
Maybe Wade will cut it.
Yeah, I might cut that out of the show. Yeah. I notice when the Yankees are doing well, I hear more from Todd.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, but then when the Yankees are struggling, it's like I don't watch baseball. Oh, how convenient. Yeah, okay. He is a big Oklahoma Sooner fan, which leads us into the next part. Oh, wait a minute. The Angels won last night. They broke a 14-game losing streak. Break up the Angels. They beat the Red Sox 5-2. So the Angels' first win since May 24th. Yeah. It's been a while. Today's it's June the 10th, of course. Oklahoma Sooners, national champs.
Washington, the grounder to Jennings. Over to first. Oklahoma wins it. And the trophy-hunting Sooners track down national championship number 6.
That's right, 6 national championships in softball. Oklahoma dominant, 59-3 this year, second straight national title. They went 10-5 yesterday and sweeped the best 2 out of 3 against Texas. Texas led 2-0 after one inning, but Oklahoma had an amazing catch over the fence to rob a 2-run homer. Could have been down 4-0. Another great play by their infield defense later. They was tied after 4, and they scored 4 in the 5th and 4 in the 6th and pulled away to win 10-5. And think about this, Oklahoma Sooner softball, 59-3, their 3 losses. Texas, which obviously they avenged that many times. Oklahoma State, which made it to the semifinals and was one of the last three teams standing and really could have easily been in this best of three series if not for blowing a lead in the game against Texas in elimination. And then the other one, they lost to UCLA, and all they did was come back later in the day, beat them 15-0. So Oklahoma avenged all three of the losses, 59-3, a dominant season. Jocelyn Alo, she was unbelievable. 5 homers, 14 RBIs in the series. But she has now finally graduated, which is good news for everybody else in the Big 12 and the future SEC.
Just somebody else a chance.
And everybody in softball. I'm sure you will just reload. But they have been very dominant, and they get it done last night over Texas.
I saw where I think 40 of their wins were mercy rule wins.
I believe it. Yep. I believe it. A very dominant season for Oklahoma Sooner softball, no question about it. Their sixth title and their second straight. And, of course, who knows? They might have won the year of COVID that ruined everything for that season.
We're down to 1:07 to go in regulation time. Tampa Bay trying to post the first win by the road team in this series, and they take a huge step toward that. Hagel, the empty net goal. It's 3-1 with 58.8 to go.
Two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, one win away from advancing the Stanley Cup Finals again after they won last night. It was 1-1 tie. They scored the final two goals. They went over the Rangers in New York, first team to win on the road in the series. So Tampa Bay now up 3-2. Chance to close out the series. They've won 3 in a row after being down 2-0. They can close it out tomorrow in Tampa on home ice, game 6. And if Tampa wins, then it sets up the Avalanche and the Lightning in the Stanley Cup Finals. If the Rangers can win, it forces game 7 back in New York early next week. NBA Finals, game 4 is tonight in Boston. Celtics are up 2-1 thanks to a 116-100 win over the Warriors on Wednesday, and the Celtics can really, really take control of the series if they can win it tonight in game 4, go up 3-1. The Celtics have not lost back-to-back games in the playoffs yet this year, and if Golden State's going to win the championship, the Celtics will have to lose back-to-back games at some point in the series. The Celtics are 12-0 in NBA Finals history when they lead a series 2-1, so that doesn't bode well for Golden State. I'll tell you what else doesn't bode well for Golden State. If they lose tonight, they're down 3-1. The only team to come back from a 3-1 deficit in NBA Finals was LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and the Cavs against the Warriors when they had the 73-9 season and stopped them from considered by many to be, they would have been the best team of all time, but they couldn't finish it, much like the Patriots when they're 18-0 and couldn't finish it in the Super Bowl. You got to finish the thing to be considered the best season of all time. At least that's what I think, and many people would agree with me on that. 8 o'clock tip-off tonight on ABC. You know, the interesting part about this, I think there are people that are starting to write off the Warriors. I have many concerns for the Warriors, but I will tell you this. The Warriors are going to, I mean, I would be stunned if the Celtics rolled to an easy win tonight. I think the Celtics are going to have to play well. I think they can, and I think they probably will play well. But the Warriors are going to bring everything they got. Draymond Green's going to, you know, do what he's got to do to get under somebody's skin. Hopefully, for the Warriors' sake, he doesn't get ejected by going too far. Honestly, he pushes the envelope further than anybody else. The officials let him go too far in many cases, in my opinion, but it is what it is. But he has to play better, obviously. Everybody knows that. He knows that. But the Warriors have all kinds of mismatch problems in the series. It'll be interesting to see any kind of counter adjustment Steve Kerr does tonight. Will he use his bench a little bit more often? One of the biggest problems, and this is interesting because we talked about before the series began, that both teams turn the ball over too much at times. Both teams are capable of being careless with the basketball. And the team that's won the turnover margin so far in the series has won every game. So it's something to watch tonight. The Warriors, if they can, you know, cut down the turnovers, of course, Boston's prone to have some knucklehead decisions, that would help the Warriors get out in transition. But tonight, the Warriors really, obviously, they feel like it's a must-win because, as we said, only one team's been down 3-1 and came back to win a series, and that would be Cleveland in 16 against the Warriors. So tonight's going to be interesting to me about what's on the floor, who's on the floor, because for Golden State, when Draymond Green's on the floor, he's an offensive liability, as we established. But there are times where Kevon Looney's on the floor at the same time as Draymond Green. Now, that is their best defensive lineup, okay, is Looney and also Draymond Green. But offensively, it's not a good lineup because that means that basically you've got Wiggins and Thompson and Curry, and then sometimes it's Poole with Thompson and Curry, or interchangeable between those four. Those are their four best offensive players. Green is not an offensive star, as we know. Looney's not a guy that's going to hunt for a shot or anything. So where is the offense going to come from for Golden State? Because there's so much pressure on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and even Wiggins, and Poole needs to step up and score more too, no question. but they got out-rebounded badly game three. They were outscored 52-26 in the paint, and Draymond Green could not really defend Jaylen Brown, especially in the first quarter of the night. Draymond's 31. Klay Thompson's not as good defensively. He's getting up there, and he's had those injuries, and he played well the other night offensively. And then Steph Curry, on top of that, is not going to be 100% tonight. Now, he might go off for 55 and they win. I don't know. But Steph Curry, they're going to hunt him, no doubt, more so than ever, in regards to making him work to where maybe that foot bothers him or he aggravates it worse. The Celtics can go right at Steph Curry. He is a wounded animal right now, and it'll be interesting to see how Curry plays tonight. But to me, there's no question the Warriors probably need a more balanced attack. Curry could score 22 tonight, and they win. But the only way that happens is Wiggins plays really well. Green's got to step it up. Jordan Poole's going to have a big game. And, you know, Klay Thompson has only had one good game in the series. You can't necessarily count on him to go off for 6-7 threes tonight, although he's certainly capable. So the Celtics right now, I guess the question for me for them would be, you know, don't take your foot off the gas a little bit here. You think you got them on their heels, you're in control. But the one thing that concerned me about the Celtics going this series that I've been pleasantly surprised about is they have closed games. They closed game one, they closed game three, and they were relentless. And if they had that same mindset tonight, attack, 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 as they did in game three the other night, this is going to be a very tough task for Golden State this evening in Boston. So who you got, Warriors tonight in game four or the Celtics?
I'm going to go with the Warriors.
Going Warriors?
Yep. I mean, I picked them to win the series. So If they're going to do that, I feel they need to win tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say must win until it's absolutely over. But I think if they are going to make a real run at getting back into the series and winning it, they almost have to win tonight. But and I think they'll give a good game. I think you're gonna. I don't know that they'll do this, but let's say Jordan Poole doesn't have a great first half. We might see more Gary Payton minutes.
True, but he's not an offensive player.
No, he's not an offensive player. Liability. But I mean, they might try to, you know, kind of go anti-Golden State a little bit. If Klay continues to struggle, maybe we see a few more Gary Payton minutes.
If Klay Thompson struggles, you're not going to put Gary Payton in for Klay Thompson.
I mean,
who's going to score? All you got is Steph Curry.
Right. I mean, you just got to hope, but if, you know, Klay's not getting it done, you got to go another.
Yeah, if he's struggling, he's going to make shots. Yeah.
Yeah. And it'd be kind of the opposite of the way Golden State wants to play. They don't want to play the 95-90 game. Mm-hmm. They'd rather win it 115-110. But, the options are getting limited a little bit. They just don't. You're right. They're the shortest scorer from the absolute best days. Or, you know, Jordan Poole's not quite what Kevin Durant was. Draymond Green's not even close to what he even was. And so, maybe they have to change up, and that's going to be hard to do in the middle of a series. So, it'll be interesting.
It's not hard to change in the middle of a series. I mean, that we've seen this multiple times in NBA Finals. The Bucks did it last year. They're out 2-0. They changed the middle of the series. I remember the Mavericks and the Heat. You know, the Mavericks were up 2-0 against Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal. Everybody said that series was over because Dallas won the first two games of Miami. Miami won the next four games. People talked about the Mavericks and the Heat series when LeBron played, and people thought that series was over, and the Heat were up 2-1, and Dirk Nowitzki had the flu and somehow fought through it one game four, and Dallas went on to win that series in six games. And we see this, the Lakers and Celtics talked about game one, the Boston Massacre, and then they came back and won the series. We see teams make adjustments all the time. That's what series are about, are adjustments. If you don't make any adjustments, then you're doomed to fail. So I think that the thing to me that's intriguing is what adjustment, because you have to make an adjustment.
Right.
What adjustment or adjustments does Steve Kerr make tonight? Is it Gary Payton playing against Jaylen Brown more than Draymond Green, and Draymond Green sits on the bench a little bit more? Are you going to go with a defensive lineup, or are you going to go with an offensive lineup? You know, how many minutes does Steph Curry play tonight with that foot sprain? You know, and is there too much of a burden on him? Will there be anybody off the bench that might be able to do something to give this team a spark? You know, how does he handle the minutes with Klay Thompson? Because you only had one day off between the games. Every other game in the series has been 2 days off in between. They are the older team. This is going to be very interesting to me, because to me the onus is on Steve Kerr and his coaching staff to make adjustments. And we've seen this. Sometimes coaches in the middle of a series make an adjustment, whether it's somewhat lucky or it's just brilliant, and it changes a series. And sometimes the other team can't counter adjust to it. And the Warriors have to have that adjustment that works tonight. They have to. And if it isn't, then they probably are not going to win the series. Here's what I think. I had the Warriors in seven before the series began, and I was reluctant to do that. I really wanted to pick the Celtics, but I thought, well, if it goes seven, I'll take home court. 80% of the time, the team at home wins, or 78%. But looking at the series right now, I know it's easy to jump off the Warriors bandwagon. I think a lot of people are, and I get all that. But let's just focus on the game itself. Forget the series. Tonight's game is in Boston. Boston is better on the road than at home. But you look at the matchup, and the only thing the Warriors got going for them right now, unless there's some counter adjustment that, you know, Steve Kerr is going to do that we are not aware of yet, because he's going to have to do something differently tonight. Unless the Celtics come out flat, which would be embarrassing because it's game four of the finals and you're at home, so you shouldn't come out flat. But the Warriors are going to have to exert so much energy, so much effort, and I think you can see that for three quarters tonight. I think you will see that for three quarters. My question is, can they get to the finish line against a younger, more physical, and more athletic team? The Celtics are all of that. Now, when you hear me say that, you're like, well, then how in the heck do you pick the Warriors to win a series? Because they've got experience. They've got guys that can light you up. They can get hot. I mean, the Warriors can win games playing bad for 30 minutes and have a great quarter. Now, against the Celtics, that's not nearly as likely because the Celtics are so good defensively. And here's the other thing. If you lose tonight, the Celtics have to lose three in a row. And they haven't lost back-to-back games in all the playoffs. And that's against teams that you could argue, the Bucks and the Heat are as good as the Warriors. You could argue that. I'm not saying they are. I think the Bucks with Middleton, they definitely are as good as the Warriors. But you could argue that. I look at tonight as I don't think the Warriors are going to have enough gas in the tank. I think the age and the physicality and the length, and they're going to hunt Steph Curry over and over and over. And I fear for the Warriors that Curry is going to run out of gas. I don't know how effective he's going to be. Whether he might score 30, but he might be a major liability defensively. Or Curry's going to have him on the bench, and the bench doesn't play well. Although I have a feeling that the bench might make some big plays tonight for the Warriors. So I want the Warriors to win because I want a seven. I want a great series.
Right.
And if they go down and lose tonight to Boston, they're down 3-1. Many people are going to say, you know, it's over. I think Boston's gonna have just too much tonight. Right. Unless they have an injury or some major foul trouble to, say, Tatum or Brown, I think the Celtics, Curry's been the best player in the series. He'd be the MVP if it ended right now. But the next three best players in the series are Celtics.
Yeah.
That's Brown, I'd say, is the second best player in the series. Tatum and Marcus Smart's been really good. And then you've got other guys that have had some super big flashes of greatness, like Derek White and Al Horford.
It's so funny how just we talk about Golden State sometimes doesn't really play that well, but they'll just kick your butt for a quarter,
yeah,
and they'll just destroy you.
Hard to do that against the Celtics.
Game one, this was fourth quarter.
Yeah,
the Celtics kind of Golden State,
yeah, yeah,
and stole game one. Golden State was up, 12 going into that fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Boston blew them out in that fourth quarter, stole that game on the road, and just think how much different we'd be talking about series.
It'd be 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, that's why it's so important to get game one, especially if you're a road team. The best game to win when you're the road team, the underdog, is to steal game one.
Yeah.
And the Celtics, they big time stole it because they were down double digits.
Yep. Another thing we might see, you almost have to start to think about it, is maybe Steve Kerr, minutes-wise, almost treats this a little bit more like a regular season game. It's getting with Jordan Poole, with the guys that were out here and there, taking turns being out, Clay at the beginning, Steph later on the season. Jordan Poole was playing starters minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was in starting games, so he's getting starters minutes, and he's in a rhythm all game long. Well, maybe you have to take, with a bad foot, maybe you have to take six away from Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have to take six away from Clay.
Mm-hmm.
Give those to Jordan Poole. See if you can get him to have a game like he did in some of these regular season and early on in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And pick up some of that scoring. Take a little bit. Not that he's going to be as great he's not that great of a defensive player, but when you're hunting Steph all the time, give him a little bit of a break from doing that on that bad foot. Just in general, a little less time out there being hunted offense or defensively, and just see if the younger Jordan Poole can maybe hold up a little bit better defensively. Not that he's great, but just a touch better, and see what happens
there. That'd be pretty gutsy.
It would
to treat a must win situation as a regular season game. That would be the ultimate in kahunas, to play the game like it's a regular season game. Most coaches will not do that because they're going to go down with their best bullet, their best gun in the gunfight. You know, we've talked about it before. You go down with your best. It's as simple as that. Or you go down with who you trust. And the question, I guess, is, you know, who do you trust more? Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, or, you know, Jordan Poole and Gary Payton II? And I think we know what the answer is to that. But if you can't get to the finish line, then what's the point? Right. You know, you probably got to pace it. The question is, can these other guys step up for the Warriors? And, of course, it would help if Draymond played better, no doubt. And Looney, honestly, can play better. Mm-hmm. You know, Wiggins has been solid, but for them to probably get over the hump, he's got to play even better offensively. Defensively, he's not been that bad.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Game four tonight. Jason said it's going to be even at 2-2. I say the Celtics go up 3-1. I hope Jason's right, because I would like to see a long series here. The PGA has suspended the LIV golfers. It is official. In golf, the first ever LIV golf event got underway outside of London yesterday. Charles Schwartzer shot a 5-under to take the lead after one round. The story of the day, though, was minutes after the event began, as the PGA officially suspended the 17 members of their tour who are playing in the tournament. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan wrote in a memo to the tour's membership, and I quote, "These players have made their choice for their own financial-based reasons, but they can't demand the same PGA Tour membership benefits, considerations, opportunities, platform as you. That expectation disrespects you, our fans, and our partners. You have made a different choice, which is to abide by the tournament regulations you agreed to when you accomplished the dream of earning a PGA Tour card, and more importantly, to compete as part of the preeminent organization in the world of professional golf." Monahan also wrote, "The players who take part in future LIV golf events will receive a suspension as well. Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, supposedly going to play an event coming up later in June on the LIV tour. LIV Golf, they replied in a statement saying, and I quote, "It's troubling that the PGA Tour, an organization dedicated to creating opportunities for golfers to play the game, is the entity blocking golfers from playing. This certainly is not the last word on this topic. The era of free agency is beginning, as we are proud to have a full field of players join us in London and beyond." End of quote. So let the battle wage on between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. Will this be a short-lived LIV Golf, or will they be able to keep having out the payouts? We talked about they don't have a TV partner, a big-time TV broadcast partner for LIV Golf yet. There's a lot of money that's being put into this through a fund that is supposedly controlled by the Saudi prince over there. And we know all about the human rights violations and the person that was murdered over there. That's why a lot of golfers are sitting back here on the PGA Tour saying, listen, you're going to get the money, but we don't feel like that's really the right thing to do. I think that's why Tiger Woods isn't participating in this. Bryson DeChambeau's lost a sponsor. Rocket Mortgage has been a sponsor of PGA Tour for a long time. They sponsored one of the events that Bryson DeChambeau won in 2020. Then he became a partner with Rocket Mortgage, a spokesperson. They ended their endorsement deal with Bryson DeChambeau. DeChambeau hasn't even played in a LIV golf event yet, but he announced he was going to play in one at the end of June. And Rocket Mortgage says, we're pulling the plug on that. Phil Mickelson's lost some sponsors as well, as has Dustin Johnson. Of course, those guys may say, who cares when I can make a heck of a lot more money and compensate for the loss in endorsements by going over to, you know, London, or, you know, part of LIV Golf that's based, you know, through Saudi Arabia backing. Greg Norman's basically the big leader of this. In regards to the spokesperson, kind of like almost like the commissioner of LIV Golf in a way, although that's not his official title. So we'll continue to see how this plays out. And I don't think it is good for golf. You know, to me, it's not good when you fracture golf that way. I do understand the players should have the right to play. I mean, they're players that go play on the Asian tour. They play on other tours. Ian Poulter mentioned that yesterday. He said, listen, he's one of the 17 suspended or whatever by the PGA because he's participating. He said, listen, I can go and play on all these other tours. No big deal. He goes, I should have the right to play where I want to play. If I want to play here, I shouldn't have to be stripped of all my privileges over here. At the same time, the PGA Tour has a right to protect their product. And they can say, listen, we're not going to let you just come and pick and choose everything that you want to do. You chose to go that route. Good luck to you. Have fun. We'll stay here and we'll build what we got. The question is going to be how many more defections you'll have for the PGA Tour. They'll add to that. And then some of these people are friends with those guys that have made that jump into the pool in regards to LIV Golf. The other question would be the guys that jumped into LIV Golf. Okay, you get your big payday, but then what happens a year or two from now if LIV Golf goes because they have no TV partner, they can't keep funding the thing, or they get a lot of blowback because of who you're associated with through that golf league and everything else. So it'll be interesting to continue to follow this intriguing situation with the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and those golfers that have already gone to LIV Golf that are going to compete and others that may be thinking about it. And then also what happens with majors and so forth down the line, because one of the majors already said, listen, we're not going to keep anybody from playing, you know, and why would you? But the PGA Tour and LIV Golf, quite the battle, and it's just beginning.
It is just beginning. It'll be there's already kind of a fracture between just Tiger and everybody else. You see it on your normal weekend tournaments that Tiger doesn't play. They just don't quite get the ratings anymore as they did when Tiger was there.
Bill and Tiger.
Prime. Right. And so now you're even going to fracture that even a little bit more. No Dustin Johnson. You know.
Although in fairness to the PGA Tour, that wasn't their choice. Dustin Johnson
right,
made that choice.
Right. Yeah, so I could see it being a problem for the PGA Tour. Now, I think their hope is, hey, somebody's just fronting this money right up front.
Yep.
They're, they're not getting every single star. They're getting some.
Right.
So it might not be as captivating golf as everybody expects. So maybe that TV deal isn't so huge, and then nobody wants to front that money anymore, and it kind of folds, and then everybody has to come back. I think that's the idea for right now for the PGA.
Here's my question with LIV Golf is, obviously got a lot of rich people in Saudi Arabia through a fund that are paying a lot of money, and they might have billions of dollars, so they can just keep funding it. But why would you keep – I mean, in a way, you're trying – as some people speculate, you're trying to make good on some bad images that you have, especially with what happened back in 2018. Yeah. And so this is almost a way to cover up the things that they've done. And so how far do you go financially before you pull the plug on something like this? Because I can tell you without a doubt, they ain't making money by putting this LIV Golf together.
No.
It's more of a bit of a show to the world. I know it's hard to believe for people, but yes, it is political. There is political aspects to all of this, no question about it. Many sports situations are more political than people even realize. And so I understand the players doing what they're doing by going over there. I respect those that aren't going over there and staying here. And I do think it does look bad with some players. You know, Phil Mickelson even said in the excerpts about how bad this situation was over there, but yet he's still playing after saying all that stuff, which makes you lose a little respect for Phil Mickelson if you really understand what's going on. So we'll continue to follow it. LIV Golf, PGA Tour, continue to throw barbs at each other, and we'll see if there's any more that defect from the PGA Tour to LIV Golf. And then would they be allowed to come back to the PGA Tour if that dries up over there? My guess would be yes. More than likely, especially if you're a big name. All right, NBA Game 4, the finals tonight, 8 o'clock on ABC, and no NHL playoffs tonight. OU women, the softball champions here in NCAA softball, beating Texas last night. The Royals win last night. They play again tonight. And the pep rally, 8-man all-star game pep rally today at Chautauqua Park, 4 to 5 o'clock. Right there, Chautauqua Park, near the water park. I'll be in the shade. We'll have a lot of fun with the 8-man All-Stars. And then our coverage begins tomorrow. 9:30 pregame, 10 o'clock is kickoff of Division I game, and a 1 o'clock pregame, and then kickoff Division II game at 1:30. All those games, both those games at Trojan Field there, Trojan Stadium in Beloit. So make sure you get there in time to check out the games. If you can't make it, listen on the radio, Katie Country 94, katiecountry94.com. All this information you need is one fingertip away, one click away. Go to nckssports.com. It's a top story. There are links to the 8-man All-Star Game Radio Network and our 8-man All-Star Football Games website. There's also a list of the schedule for today for the pep rally and Friday Night Lights at the NCK Technical College there this evening as well. Should be a lot of fun, and make sure you get that Katie Kinch 94 free app on your smartphones. You can listen that way as well, as we can't wait to get it started. Bright and early? Well, I don't know if it's bright and early, but it might be for some people really, really early. But 9:30 pregame tomorrow on Katie Kinch 94. Have a great weekend.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.